Well, you guys, I'm so excited to jump into a new series, a new year in the middle. We're going to look into God's word, and I'm so excited about that this morning. Hey, I want to ask you a question as we get going. Where is the location, or what is the location of your soul? And you might think that's a weird question, but I think it's actually the most pressing question we can ever ask. I know that's a big statement, but I really don't think there's a more important question. Maybe there's a couple. Maybe we could get into some nuance about that. But I think as we live our lives, the most important question we can ask ourselves is, where is our soul located? You might say, well, Pastor Scott, it's right in my body. That's where it is. Great. You're starting down the right line of thinking, and we're going to get into some of that today. I want to start out with a story. And years ago, I was actually in Chicago with my dad. We were attending this conference. My dad is in the hospitality and restaurant field, and we were at a conference in Chicago. It was a National Restaurant Association conference, and super cool conference. You go around, you get to eat like hot dogs and all sorts of new kinds of foods, and the booths are really fun because it's food and beverage. So really, really awesome time and get to be there with my dad. It was really incredible. But when I was first getting there to the McCormick Convention Center, which if you've ever been there, it's this huge place, I was trying to find my dad. And I was texting with him, and then I called him, and we were communicating back and forth. And we kept, you know how you do when you're trying to find somebody. They're like, what do you see? Where are you at? What floor are you on? And we're doing all that stuff. And we kept saying, do you see this certain sign? And I kept saying, I see the sign. I'm looking right at the sign. And he'd be like, I'm looking right at the sign. Go to your left or go to your right. And he's giving me all these instructions and nothing was working. We couldn't find each other. And what we realized is that we were both looking at a similar sign. It was the same sign. It was just in the same sign in two different places. And we were looking at the same sign. Literally, it wasn't the same sign in the same location, but the same sign. We were looking at the same sign, but in different places. And the location that I was in and the location that he was in meant that we couldn't get to the goal that we were trying to get to. We couldn't find each other. And I think in many ways, when we ask, where is our soul located? We're going through life, you guys, and we're all experiencing things. You might be experiencing some of the same things that I am. I might be experiencing some of the same things somebody else is. But the location that we're in our soul means that we're experiencing and confronting those things differently. We all went through a pandemic. We all went through some of the challenges of the last several years. We're all going through our own highs and our own lows. But many of us were coming at it from a different location. And so I want to ask you today, where is your soul located? Now, to really answer that question, we've got to put a couple of components together, okay? At least three, and the three things that I want to talk to you about today. But number one, we need to understand kind of the biblical framework of thinking about life. And what I mean by that is that we need to understand there are two realms. I've talked about this recently, but I want to talk about it again, just this idea that there's a created realm and an uncreated realm. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Two realms. And then we need to define spirit, soul, and body. If we're going to talk about locating our soul, we need to understand what it is. So spirit, soul, and body. And then the last piece of this is just, what does it mean to relocate your soul if you figure out it's not where you want it to be? If you're on the phone with your Heavenly Father, if you're talking to Him and you're trying to locate where you are and you find out, oh, I'm looking at the wrong sign, okay? Like, I need to get to a different place. How do we relocate our soul and get it where it needs to be? So three thoughts. The first thought is two realms. I want to talk to you about the idea that there's two realms, because again, when you read the Bible, you have to approach the Bible through this framework. If you don't approach the Bible through this framework, the Bible doesn't make any sense. And really, you say, well, Scott, if this framework is so important, why wouldn't God make it really explicit in the Bible? Why wouldn't He just lay it out? And I would say, well, He absolutely actually does. It's just that we approach the Bible from a modern framework so often, from a Western modern framework, that we miss some of these details sometimes. But when you read the Bible, and once you see it, you'll just see it all over the Bible, this idea that there's two realms. God lays it out for us in the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, if you really say, why doesn't God just show us? He does. In the first 10 words of the Bible, this is what we get. We get this concept of two realms, okay? In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, there's your uncreated realm, created the heavens and the earth. There's time, space, and matter. That's the planets, that's your experience, that's your body, that's the air that we're breathing, that's the molecules that are bumping around all around here, that's the oxygen in the air, that's the H2O that's running through our bodies and in the streams and the lakes and the rivers and the oceans of the world. It's God, in the beginning, God, the uncreated God, the one that sits in the spiritual realm, created, manifest, time, space, matter. He created the heavens and the earth. And right from the beginning of the Bible, we have two realms. We have an uncreated realm and a created realm, a spiritual realm and a physical realm. And then through the rest of the book of Genesis, especially the first couple chapters, we see Adam and Eve that are created beings walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. So we have two realms, uncreated and created, and then we see that they're intermingling with each other, and Adam and Eve are walking and talking with God. And then, of course, if you read the scripture in the book of Genesis, what ends up happening is that the uncreated one says to the created ones, hey, I made all of this for you. It's good. It's wonderful. But I want you, while you're in this created order, to actually still depend on me for your wisdom. And I want you to depend on me for your life. And the day that you choose not to do that, there's going to be some bad things that start to happen. And if you read the story in the first couple chapters of Genesis, what we see is that Satan shows up and deceives Adam and Eve. He invites them to live in a way contrary to what God said that they should do. And they actually, it says that when he presents the fruit to them, that when they see the fruit from the tree, that it's good to the eye and it looks good for food. Do you see the physical part of that? They started living in a physical, a purely physical understanding, orientation, instead of understanding God, the one that made them, and listening to him. And so we have something called sin. And sin is when we choose our own way instead of God's way. And it actually breaks those two realms apart in the scriptural understanding. And then all through the Old Testament, you see basically humans trying to build their way back to that spiritual place. You see the Tower of Babel, where all the people come together and try to build up, literally build up to the heavens, and it doesn't work. You see people trying to be super religious and super holy and really toe the line and keep all the right things, and it doesn't work. They're not good enough. And we see individuals try to do it. We see nations try to do it. And what happens is that this breach between the uncreated and the created realm is so great and so vast that humans actually can't repair it. And there is eventually a man named Jesus who comes. He's God come in the flesh, and he is the reorientation or the reconnection of those two realms. He's the uncreated God come down in created human flesh. And he comes and lives a sinless life. And then he actually dies in the flesh, but then resurrects again to prove that these two realms have come back together. The uncreated resurrecting into the created once again. And he says, look, I'm bringing these realms back together, eternal life, spiritual life. And if you will trust in me, I will bring you with me and bring you back into this type of creation where the uncreated and the created once again commingle, and God walks and talks with his people in the cool of the day. And that's what we see in the New Testament as the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells his people. And now you and me, if we're surrendered to Jesus and we have received him as our Lord and Savior, we are now the actual manifestation points of those two realms coming together again, the uncreated realm and the created realm manifesting together once again. This is absolutely fascinating and mind-blowing. I love it. These two realms are intermingled. They break through our sin. We can't put them back together. Jesus restores the realms back together again, and then invites us to be those connection points of those realms and infuses us with his Holy Spirit. Human beings living in physical bodies infused with the Spirit of God, we are once again these realms created back together. So you and I, surrendered to God, are the intermingling of these two realms again. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis that you and I were created in God's image. And God is a triune being. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And we are created in a triune way. Now, if you've lost me through some of the theology of that, come on back. I'm going to make it real simple here. You were created in three parts. You were created with a body. And as you're looking at this screen right now and you're looking at me, you can see my body. You can see my hands. You can see my face. You can see my big ears. You can see my body. But I'm not just a body. And you're not just a body. You're a soul. And the Bible's understanding and comprehension of the soul is that the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. I could say it this way. It's your thinking, your choosing, that's your will. What do you will? It's your choosing and your feeling. Your thinker, your chooser, your feeler. Your thinking, choosing, feeling, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. And then the Bible says that we have a spirit. But it says that our spirit actually is dead. It died. It's the spirit is the uncreated part of you. It's the spirit that God gifts to you. And the Bible says that in original sin in Genesis, that human spirits died, and that we actually need Jesus to breathe life once again, to be born again, to bring that spirit part of us back to life again. And that's called eternal life. That we actually start eternal life now when we receive Jesus, but then that part of us, it opens up and it lives again and it brings eternal life forever. Even after, watch this, when your body actually passes away, your soul and your spirit do not. they continue on back to the uncreated realm. Because they're uncreated parts of you. They're God-given, and your body is God-given as well, but your body's given here. This body is given for a short time. So we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And this leads us to our next point, is that we need to define spirit, soul, and body. I just did some of that work for us, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Paraphrasing this, may God actually bring you to maturity and fullness in your life, okay? "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see the three parts there? You look at me and I have a body, but I'm a soul and a spirit. And if I were to look at you, you have a body, but you're a soul and a spirit. So your body is defining it, is your body. Okay. It's the suit you're walking around on this earth, the earthly suit dwelling, what you see. Your spirit is birthed upon salvation, that part of you that is redeemed before God, that's perfect and holy, and it fellowships with God. And then your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your thinking, feeling, and choosing. And this is the part of us that can be actually fleshly, or it can be spiritual. It's the one in the middle. It's the one that actually has to get, if you'll hang with me, it has to get located. Your soul has to get located. Your thinking, your choosing, and your feelings, your emotions have to get located. Remember, I started out and I said, where is your soul located? Where is your soul located? Fundamentally, what's the orientation of your soul? How does it make choices? How does it think? How does it feel? Does it use a carnal, bodily, created kind of mindset? Or does it use a spiritual, uncreated, godly kind of mindset? From which location or orientation are you thinking, choosing, and feeling? Now, we think about this maybe in a limited way, but this is so comprehensive. This actually touches every single part of life. If we think about thinking, choosing, and feeling out of the physical realm, the Bible tells us things like this. Proverbs 14:12. It says this. It says, "There is a way that appears to be right to a human, but in the end, it leads to death." Did you see it? There's a way in which you can be in the created orientation, you can be in the created realm, and you can be thinking, feeling, and choosing out of this created realm, but when you think it's right, but it isn't. And you make decisions based on how you think and how you feel and how you choose, but it's not right, and it leads to death. And then, you know, there's all through the scripture, but Jesus, when he comes to earth, he's tempted in the desert by Satan, and he actually is fasting. So he's limiting the strength in his created body. He's limiting it down so that he can be oriented to his spirit. And Satan shows up and says, "You're really hungry." I'm paraphrasing, but Satan says, "You're really hungry, aren't you?" And it says, "Turn the stones into bread, meet your own needs, live according to your physical needs. Primarily, first," and there's a lot of teaching that I don't have time to get into, but limit your spiritual calling so that you can meet your physical need. And Jesus doesn't do it, and I'm very thankful for that, and I know we're very thankful for that. But when we think and live and choose and feel out of the physical realm, it leads us to death. But when we flip over to the spiritual realm, the Bible tells us this, the things like Colossians 3, 1 through 10. And again, this is all over the Bible. This is just one example. It says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts," and the heart is the seat of the soul. That's the biblical language for the mind, the will, and the emotions. "Set your soul on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly created nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in your life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices." I'm putting this in now, your carnal way of thinking and orienting your mind, will, and emotions. Verse 10, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. God created your soul. What it's saying is God made you. God, yeah, he made your body, but he didn't just make your body. He made your soul. The way you think, the way you choose, the way you feel. And he knows how that's supposed to work. And when you orient your soul to your body, which is carnal, you end up making miscalculations and missteps. But when you orient your soul to your spirit, then you can actually live according to the spirit. And look what the Bible tells us in Romans 8, 6. It says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To orient your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to your flesh is death, but to orient your mind, will, and emotions to the spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but if you could use a little bit more life and peace, the Bible tells us that you just need to orient your soul to the spirit. That you need to orient your soul to the way God does things, that you need to think more about the way God thinks. You need to feel what God says you should feel in any given situation. You need to actually live your life according to the Spirit. Now, I love Romans 8, 6. It says, to be carnally minded is death. And I looked up the word minded in the original Greek, and it's really fascinating because, yes, it deals with the mental, but here's the definition that was in the Greek concordance, Strong's Greek concordance. It says this, inclination or purpose, what one has in the mind, the thoughts and purposes. So it isn't just your brain, like the body part of your brain. It's actually the intents and the purposes that you're willing within your mind. It's your thinking and your will. It's your thinking and your choosing. And so what this passage is saying is that to be carnally minded, to have intentions and purposes in your thinking that are based on your physical desires and urges and unctions actually leads us to death. But it says, but to be spiritually minded, to have spiritual purposes and thoughts, and to actually be operating your mind, will, and emotions through a spiritual lens, that actually leads to life and peace. Life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You were created with a body, you were created with a spirit, and your soul sits in the middle and gets to choose, because that's what the soul is. It's a thinker and a feeler and a chooser. And I want to ask you, where's your soul located? I want to give you a couple of thoughts here. We could do this in so many areas, but I just want to give you a couple. How does this work? How does this work when we find that our soul is located in a certain place and we need to reorient it to some other place? The Bible word for this relocation of soul is actually repentance. And in the Bible, the word repent actually literally means to change the way we're thinking from the way we were thinking before, which leads us to death, sin, and actually change it to think about the way God thinks about it. And then to turn around 180 degrees and choose differently, to feel differently, to live differently based on that change in our mind. That's called repentance in the Bible. It's literally what it is. It's a relocation of your soul. It is reorientation to your mind, will, and emotions. It's saying, God, I don't know best, you know best, and I'm going to live my life according to what you say. So let me give you a couple examples. It's in a place where someone wrongs us and our flesh, our created self says, I'm never forgiving that. I might even actually be led or unctioned to get you back. And that is something that I'm very interested in doing. But the scripture says, and God says, that's not my nature. It's not my heart. And I've forgiven you through Jesus Christ. And I'm calling you to forgive your brothers and your sisters. Now, forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. And forgiveness is not just forgetting it forever so that you live with that person like it never happened. That's not actually what the biblical form of forgiveness is. Forgiveness is I forgive the debt over you and I treat you with honor accordingly. It's, I don't hold the debt over you any longer. Now, reconciliation, we can work on that if you want to, but we don't need to be reconciled in order for me to forgive you. But here's the thing, if I'm thinking and choosing and feeling based on my flesh, I'm never going to forgive. But when I reorient, when I repent and I say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for holding unforgiveness toward that person. What they did was wrong, but God, you've called me to forgive them. And so God, I choose as an act of my will. God, I think about life the way you say I should think about life. And God, I use my intention in my mind, purpose in my mind. God, I'm going to be spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. And so God, I choose as an act of my will to forgive them. God, would you help me forgive them? And I forgive them. And hey, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This goes all through our whole life. This goes into our concept of pride, the concept of how we live our life overarchingly. And you know, some people are like, hey, I'm in charge of my life and I know best and I know what I'm doing. And some of us live life and say something like this, God, if I'm running my life, it's a mess. And God, I need you in my life. I surrender to you. God, I need you. You know, I had this person levied this kind of insult on me one time. They said, you know, you Christians, you know, you God's like a crutch. And I I remember saying to them, no, he's way more than a crutch. He's everything. And I believe that when we talk about pride versus surrender, that some of us have come to grips with our own frailty and our own limitations as created beings. And we've said, I don't know best. I don't always feel the right things. I don't always want to forgive. Sometimes I do, you know, in my heart, hate other people. Sometimes I don't like other people that aren't like me. And in my flesh, in my created being, I say, that's true. And then what do I do with that? Well, what I do with that is I surrender and I turn around and I repent and I say, God, my soul, my thinking and feeling and choosing is being located in my flesh. And God, I desperately need you, God, so that I can relocate my soul in you. God, I repent. God, I'm sorry. God, would you help me forgive? God, would you help me love? God, would you help me serve? And we actually come to a place where we need God in a fresh way. I need God to bring life to me. I need God to bring wisdom to me. I need God to help direct my steps. I need God for strength every day. He's not just a crutch. He's everything. Proverbs 30 verse 12 says this, there's a generation that is pure in their own eyes, and yet it is not washed from its filthiness. And I believe that we're living, for many of us, in it, we're living in lives, we're living in a generation, generations that say, I'm good, I don't need God. And God says, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Go back and read the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve did it. Go back and read the entire Old Testament. The entire Old Testament did it. And Jesus came and lived a sinless life and said, I don't do anything I don't see God doing. I don't say anything I don't hear God saying. And he lived a life where his soul was oriented to the spiritual. And we look at Jesus's life and it was beautiful. And of course, none of us will live a sinless, perfect life in that way. But we can model ourselves after Jesus and we can live with the Spirit of God empowering us like Jesus. John, 1 John says, as he is, so are we in this world. Speaking of Jesus. So we can live with our souls oriented to the Spirit. So think about how we're reorienting ourselves. I want to talk to you for just a second about how we do this in the realm, like take an example. Again, we could take so many examples, but let's take an example like pornography. Let's talk about pornography for a second. And first of all, I just want to, if you're like, I'm turning this off right now, please don't turn it off. Just hang with me, okay? Jesus loves you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But think about this for a second. We talk about locating our souls, okay? Locating our souls. When we engage in pornography, we take other human beings and we turn them into objects. We turn them into sexual objects. We dehumanize them by removing their humanness. If you hang with me, we don't see their spirit and their soul. We just see their body. And so what we've done is we've taken a three-part being and we've segregated it out and we've just highlighted one part. And then we've made that one part, not a human, but an object. And then we have used or utilized that object for our own pleasure. And when we engage in pornography, and really this even goes when we engage in sex outside of the biblical container for sex, which is marriage between a man and a woman, and we engage in sexuality outside of that biblical container, we objectify people. We turn them into something other than a human. And so when we talk about pornography, okay, I want you to think about this, ask this question. Do we see others through a carnal lens or a spiritual lens? It's really hard to engage in pornography and see someone else as a human. And I love this quote from Pope John Paul II. He said this, there is no dignity when the human dimension is eliminated from the person. And then this is the line right here. In short, the problem with pornography is not that it shows too much of the person, but that it shows far too little. And we so often think about pornography as, oh, it's just showing too much of a person. We can't look at that. We can't watch that. And John Paul said, no, you missed it. You can have someone fully unclothed, but pornography shows far too little because it just shows their body. It doesn't show their soul and their spirit. It takes sexuality and makes it something that's just about the carnal created realm, and it misses 2/3 of the human. So when we engage in pornography, when we engage in sex in a way, we use sex in a way that we shouldn't, we're actually living with our soul located in our bodies. We're living with our soul located in carnal thinking instead of actually stepping back and saying, let me think about the sex industry for a minute. Let me think about the women and the men that are in pornographic videos and think about the way that their lives are being lived. And think about that. If you go, you can go, you can read on this, but you can read about the desperation of the people that are in those kind of industries. And, you know, we need to see people as people. We need to orient our mind, will, and emotions in the realm of our sexuality to the kingdom of God, not just to our own lusts and our own bodies. This is so important. We have to relocate our soul and our sexuality and wrap our mind, will, and emotions directly around the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the gospel in our sexuality. And I will just say that repentance is when we say, I've gotten an area in my life wrong. I've been doing this wrong. And I will tell you that in my life, when I was a young man, I was doing this area wrong. And I remember calling out to God and just saying, God, I have jacked my life up. I have messed it up. And God, if you can do anything with someone like me, you can have my life. God, I'm not doing anything good with it. And you know, so much of it was around these areas of sexuality because I was so into carnal thinking. I was so into a carnal orientation, and God has come in and has to rewire where my soul is located. And I truly believe if you're watching this today, and this is an area that you deal with, I will tell you, God can set you free. I don't just mean get a little better. I mean, set you free. And you know what? Here's the thing. Until we go to heaven and we meet Jesus face to face again, we are always going to be walking in a broken, fallen world and broken, fallen flesh. We're never going to be perfect. But here's the deal. We can reorient and relocate our souls to spiritual thinking, because to be carnally minded, to have carnally mindset, to have that physical mindset, it's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Think about something like relationships. Here's another area, relationships. You know, so often in our culture, right, we're like, well, I just need somebody to make me happy. Like if I can just find Mr. Right, if I can just find Mrs. Right. And what we do is we emphasize the idea of finding the right person. But the thing is, in the biblical context, you don't find the right person. You actually approach relationships with the right soul. You locate your soul in the kingdom of God instead of locating your soul in your body and in your flesh, in your carnal thinking. And then you actually approach a relationship from an entirely different paradigm. You're not looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. You're looking to be Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. You're looking to approach a relationship with a soul that's oriented to the kingdom of God and to spiritual thinking, and to say, I'm showing up to this with my mind, my will, my choosing in life, and my emotion, my feeling in life, set directly down into the kingdom and the love of God. And I'm actually coming to you not to actually ask you to make me happy, but I'm coming to you to actually serve you and love you and actually ask you to live a life with me where we can together serve a mutual purpose of pushing each other toward Jesus Christ and moving each other into the realm of relationship with God, so we can be sanctified and put together and mature as human beings, and we can love one another and we can love the world with the love of God. While we receive the love of God, and on the days when I can't see it, can you see it for me and see it in me, and vice versa? But hey, also on the days when I am faking the funk, I don't even know if we can say that anymore. That's probably such an old term. I'm probably just showing my age with that, but it's what came to my mind. I don't have a better phrase, but the days that I'm faking the funk, that my wife will actually call me on my BS and say, that's wrong. And we need that in our relationships. But you know what? In a carnal mindset, when someone comes to you and tells you you're wrong, even if you know you're wrong, what do? You know you kick back on that. You know you don't. None of us like to be told we're wrong. But if I orient my soul into my to my Father, to the spiritual mindset, I say, you know what? When I'm called out for being wrong, whether it's my wife or anybody else, say, that doesn't define me. I might have failed in a moment. I'm not a failure. My Father loves me. He created me. He made me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Therefore, I can look squarely at a failure and say, what can I learn from that? How can I get better with that? And we need that in our relationships. I'm not looking for somebody to make me happy. I'm looking for somebody that will help me move closer to Jesus Christ, to my destiny in the gospel. And I pray the same thing for you. I pray you'd stop looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and you'd start trying to be Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And the only way to do that is to locate your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, not in your flesh, not in your body, not in a carnal way, but in the kingdom of God. And you guys see, that's called repentance, to move our thinking and our acting, our choosing from carnal mindsets to spiritual mindsets, because the Bible says in Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How about your future dreams? How about what you're going to do with your life? Can I just challenge you for a second? What if it's not God's plan for your life? What is God's plan for my life? What if it's not what is God's plan for my life? What if it's my life for God's plan? It's not God's plan for my life. It's my life for God's plan. That's a little bit different, right? It's the way I think, choose, and act and feel is actually oriented to the kingdom of God, not to my own kingdom. I'm not trying to build my own kingdom. I'm not trying to build my own life and own career. I'm trying to build the kingdom of God with God and with God's people. And so I'm going to make decisions about my future, not just based on my kingdom building, but based on God's kingdom building. What if you chose the city that you lived in upon graduation, if you're a student, not based on where the best, most highest paying job is, but actually where the best church is? What if you actually found a city that had a church that you loved and you went there to work as a doctor instead of going to the best hospital that you could go to, where you're going to go and there's nothing spiritual for you there, and your spiritual life is going to shrivel and decline, although your career will take off. And I want to challenge you and ask you, where is your soul oriented? Where is your soul located? What mechanism are you using for your thinking, your choosing, and your feeling, and your living? Is it carnal or is it spiritual? Because one leads to death and one leads to life and peace. And my prayer for you is that you will relocate your soul, that you'll repent and say, cry out to God and say, God, I'm sorry that I chose my own way. God, I'm sorry that I set my own wisdom. God, I'm sorry that I handled my sexuality that way. God, I'm sorry that I approached relationships that way. God, I'm sorry I approached money that way. God, I'm sorry I used my time that way. God, I'm sorry that I set the course for my life instead of actually taking my mind, will, and emotions and turning to you and saying, God, I need you so desperately. You're not just a crutch. You're my everything. That's my prayer for you, that you'd relocate your soul, that you'd repent, that you'd hit your knees, that you would cry the tears you need to cry, and you'd say, oh, God, I need you in my life. That's my prayer for you, repentance. And that leads me to the third and final idea as we're asking where our souls are located. Acts 3:19 says this. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And I want to pray over you that times of refreshing would come for you as you repent and as you relocate your soul to the Lord, to the spiritual, that your sins would be wiped out, and that Jesus would rush in, fill you with his love, and that times of refreshing would come. So where do you need to relocate your thinking, feeling, and choosing toward the kingdom of God? I want you to set that in your mind and in your heart right now. Put it in your mind, your will, and your emotions, your thinking, your choosing, and your feeling. And let me pray over you. Father, I pray right now for my friends that are listening to the sound of my voice. God, I pray that right now they wouldn't hear my voice, they'd hear your voice. And God, your voice over them is Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that you'd be calling your sons and daughters home in this very moment right now. God, that those who have known you before as your sons and daughters would come running home, they'd be repenting right now. They'd be calling out the areas to you, God. They'd be crying out to you, God, in the areas where they've gone their own way. And they would be declaring out of their mouth, out of their lungs, from their own mind, will, and emotions. And they would say, God, I'm sorry. for going my own way. And God, I would just declare today that I need you. God, help me think different and help me live different and help me choose different. God, I'm calling out to you. Holy Spirit, come and fill me and help me, empower me. And God, I pray that as they've turned and they're turning to you, God, that you would wipe away their sin and that God, as they repent, times of refreshing would come. I pray right now for your refreshing over them. God, as they continue to pray and talk to you, I pray for times of refreshing over them. And right now, I just want to talk to anybody that's never started a relationship with Jesus, or you did at one point, but you've been gone so long, and today's the day to come home. Today's the day to say, I no longer am going to orient my soul and locate my soul over here in this carnal reality. I need God in my life, and I'm going to reorient my life to him. And if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer of salvation and receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. He's the only one that brought those two realms back together, and he can do it in your life right now. And he's calling you. And some of you are feeling that tug. You don't know what it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's calling you. And I want to challenge you to surrender your life to him right now. Pray this with me. Say, God, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he's your son. I believe that he came down from the uncreated place into the created realm, and that he lived a sinless life and he died for me to pay for my sin. I believe he died on the cross, went in the grave, and rose to life again to defeat death and hell and the grave, and that he calls me back into relationship with you, God, and into eternal life. And right now, as an act of my choosing, as an act of my thinking and my choosing and my emotion, God, I choose you. God, I declare that you're my Lord and my Savior. I need you, God, in my life. I can't do this on my own anymore. I relocate my soul today in you. And as I do, I thank you, God, that you will birth my spirit again. God, I thank you that I'm born again, that I'm starting a relationship with you and a new life for all of eternity. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for all you've done for me. And God, thank you that today is the start of something beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, would you let us know? We would love to get you anything you need. If you need a Bible, we'll buy you a Bible. We'll send it to you wherever you are. If you need prayer for something, let us know. You can text ELEMENT to 97,000 and fill out that form. There's a checkbox that says, I made a decision for Jesus today. And then in the comments, just let us know what you need. We'll do whatever we can do for you. We love you. And more importantly, God loves you. And he's with you. So, hey, find a good Bible-believing church. Get a Bible. And get on the road with Jesus. Hey, for everybody that's listening, let's take this message and continue to mull it around in our souls. And let's ask God and let's process with God the places where we need to repent today, where we need to relocate our soul from a carnal place into the kingdom of God.